And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Amen. Please be seated. I love this passage from Philippians this morning. And as I was pondering it this week in lectionary study with other pastors over in Canton, and in my own mulling it over and chewing on it, as it were, I came to think about your rector. This is a pastor's prayer, in Paul's case, for this congregation in Philippi. But I kept thinking that Millie is praying a prayer just like this for all of you every day until she returns. And it made my heart fill with gratitude to know that and to believe that. And I do believe it. This is a pastor's prayer, and I'm sure it's Millie's prayer for all of us until she returns to us. Luke, who I also love, and I'm glad we're doing Luke in Advent this year, because Luke is a really good historian. And I was trained as a historian as well, and so I love history, and I love to read it. And what Luke does for us is to set his gospel and his second book, the Acts of the Apostles, in the geopolitical religious context of his time and place. He gives us the setting so that we might know what's going on in the world at the time of the coming of the Christ child. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Things are happening in this world that Luke wants us to know about. Luke wants us to know about who's in charge in this world, into which John comes, into which Jesus comes. Who's in charge? Tiberius, Herod, Philip, Lysanias, Annas, Caiaphas. This is the command and control structure of this world. This is the geopolitical reality of the time in which these two monumental figures come onto the scene. I love it that Luke gives us two, and really, truth be told, including today's reading, three annunciations. First, the angel appears to Zechariah, the priest, while he's on duty in the temple. And Zechariah is not part of the temple elite. He's a rural priest out there, but because he is descended of the tribe of Levi, he is a priest by genetics, by inheritance. He wasn't called to be a priest. He wasn't ordained to be a priest. He was born to be a priest. That's how it was done in Israel. It was a genetic line that one followed into the priesthood, not some sense of call at some point in life. So Zechariah is born a priest, which means that John also is born a priest, right? Since his dad was one. So Zechariah is on duty in the temple, called up from his rural setting, wherever it was, out in the sticks. He has to do his duty in the temple, and this angel comes and says, you and your wife are going to have a son, And Zechariah says, forget about it. I don't believe you. And what does the angel do? Well, Zechariah is struck dumb. He can't speak. When he comes out of the temple, he has to write down what's happened to him and show it to his compadres. So there's an annunciation to Zechariah that Elizabeth, his wife, will give birth. And that's the song of Zechariah that we used in place of the psalm today. What Zechariah sang, if you will, after this marvelous thing had happened to him. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. All this is coming into the world where there is a command and control structure that wants to say, no. We're in charge here. Don't give us any of this religious claptrap. We know who is sovereign. And it's not the one that's being proclaimed in your scriptures or even in your own hearts. But Advent, two candles today, we're keeping time. We're keeping time because we are hoping. Are we not? Are we not expecting and hoping that God will break in and do a new thing right here, right now? Remember that Advent is not about little baby Jesus, as we hear in the Legend of Ricky Bobby. Love that movie. I'm a Southerner. I can't help it. NASCAR, yay. But it's not about little baby Jesus. It's about the return of Christ in glory. As Paul says in Philippians, so in the day of Christ, you may be pure and blameless, so that you are ready, you are prepared, you are filled with expectation and hope of this new thing that God is up to, because he is coming, but not in the manger, but in the clouds with glory to set all things right, so that the kingdom inaugurated by his birth, his life, his death, and resurrection may ultimately be consummated in us. In us. Advent is a time of expectation, of hope, of joyful anticipation, trusting that God is indeed up to something. God is up to something. And that thing that God is up to breaks into human hearts and lives every day, aligning those hearts and lives and minds and refocusing them and us to be attuned to God's purpose in this world, which has nothing to do with the command and control structures that surround us on every side. It would be wonderful, would it not, if human governmental systems would align themselves with the proclamation of the gospel. Wouldn't that be wonderful? A peaceable kingdom where all are provided for, where there is no hunger or fear or homelessness, where there is no war, where there is no suffering, where there is no pain, but there's only peaceful coexistence amongst all the creatures that God created, all the creatures that God has redeemed through his Christ, the whole creation made new, as is the promise of Revelation. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I've often thought that God, in God's wisdom and mercy and justice, filled the whole creation, filled this earth with everything that every creature needs to survive, and not just survive, but to flourish. Everything is here that every creature needs. And then God took a great risk and put human beings in charge of the distribution of God's generosity. We haven't done so well, have we? Being in charge of the distribution of God's largesse, God's superabundance, God's lavishness. We like to hoard it up. I want to have mine, whether you have yours or not. Hasn't that been the concept that has led to human disaster down through the ages over and over again? Our unwillingness to share that which belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. It never did. It never can. It never will. It belongs to God. How do we share it? How do we distribute it? How do we make sure that all of God's beloved children receive what is their due by virtue of being God's beloved children? Can we count on the government to do that for us? Can we count on Wall Street to do that for us? Can we count on our own hearts in this season of hopeful expectation to be moved and transformed and brought into connection with God's dream, God's hope, God's desire for how human beings should live together in this world? Can we as individuals and as this beloved congregation, which you already do so beautifully, your Advent tree, your Advent in a bag, your sheltering of homeless human beings, all of the work that you do already shows that your hearts are moving and have been moved into the direction that the Christ who is coming will rejoice when he sees, and already does rejoice to see how the Spirit is moving this people, this congregation, this beloved parish, to do maybe less church work and more kingdom work. I think there's a difference. I've served on enough committees. Y'all serve on committees, vestries, task forces, boards, all that stuff, which is fun, it's wonderful, it gets the job done, keeps the roof on, keeps the lights on. All that stuff is essential, but it's church work. But then there's kingdom work. The kingdom work is to do what the gospel calls us to do, so that we may, on that day, be ready, be prepared, be fully equipped with every spiritual gift, which are given not to the individual, but to the body. The gifts of the Spirit that Paul talks about so powerfully in his letters are never for the individual. They're for the individual only as the individual is part of the body of Christ, so that the whole body can be built up and fully equipped with every tool, every gift that the body needs to do the work of the kingdom that is coming into the world. To be prepared for the one who is coming back. To be ready to greet him. In the proper preface for the Eucharistic prayer for Advent, there's a line that I love. So that when he comes with great triumph to rule the world, we may, without shame or fear, rejoice to behold his appearing. We have neither shame nor fear as Christians. Judgment is something that we're under all the time, right? So we have no fear of judgment day, because the function of judgment biblically, particularly in the New Testament, is never to condemn, never to punish, but rather to correct and turn us back onto the path that Christ is calling us to take, so that we can give up the idols of this world, so that we can live under principalities and powers and command and control structures, but not be subject to them. Because we are subjects of no earthly monarch, but we are subjects only of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is coming and who is here. Those of y'all that have been to Crucio, any Crucioistas? Remember the song, Alleluia, He is Coming. Alleluia, He is Here, right? He is both coming and here, and he is here in you and in me and in us to make sure that the hungry are fed, the homeless are housed, the naked are clothed, the prisoner and the sick are visited. Because when that happens, the Lord Jesus, who is coming, is already powerfully present. Because we represent him. We are his representative, right? We represent him. We make him present again here and now. So the day of the Lord is coming. As we tick the clock of the Advent wreath around, let your hearts think about these things. Let your minds be transformed by this new reality, so that as we begin to think differently about who we are and whose we are and what our mission is, we can actually begin to act differently. We can't act differently until we think differently. We have to change our minds so that we can engage the kingdom work that we are called to do, so that on that day we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Alleluia, he is coming. Alleluia, he is here. Amen.